My first girlfriend was sweet. My second girlfriend was swell. My first girl found out about my second girl, and that did not go so well. That's another story. Yeah, that's another story I can't tell. I like to give a little money to my mama. I'll give a little money to whoever needs help. Then there is I-R-S-O-L. That's another story. Yeah, that's another story. Well, I can't tell. Well, I can't tell. Well, I can't tell. If I'm heading for heaven or hell, I love my friends and family. I love most everyone else. But mean and nasty people who hate, well, they can go straight to, well, that's another story. Yeah, that's another story. Well, I can't tell. Well, I can't tell. I can't tell. If I'm heading for heaven or hell, I've contemplated and I have ruminated. I know a better life that don't sit well. Talk to the devil, yes I have. And I have talked to Jesus. They both left me talking to myself. Oh, what's with that? I can't tell. Well, I can't tell. If I'm heading for heaven or hell, so whichever place I end up, you won't know, because there'll be one more thing I won't be able to discuss. It's gonna be another story. Yeah, gonna be another story. Well, I can't tell.
I can't tell. David G. Smith performing live here today in Studio S on WKAR's Live Music Friday. Brought two guitars with him here, so we obviously heard the dobro that time around. David G., welcome to East Lansing.
Thanks for having me.
You're not your first time here, I understand.
No, we were my wife and I, this past August.
Okay. Was that your first visit to town?
It was.
Okay.
We were invited by the Boy Scouts to come up and play at their centennial celebration of the Order of the Arrow.
You had a lot of young listeners there for a day. Tell us about that. There were tens of thousands of scouts.
Well,
here
there were 10,000. Yeah, there were
10,000.
10,000, and they came from all over the world, really. And part of my contribution was to perform a song that I wrote with a Michigan native who was living in Nashville at the time, right down the road from in Kalamazoo is where he's from originally. And we wrote a song about his scoutmaster and him growing up without his dad after a divorce. And so we performed. That song went a little bit viral in the Boy Scout community. And before I knew it, they gave me a call to see if I wanted to perform that song at the NOAC convention. Mm. So we performed it for 5,000 Eagle Scouts.
Good audience.
It
Boy Scouts, a different kind of audience, I suppose. That many young guys.
And you know, the I got the privilege to follow Mike Fossum, who is a commander for the International Space Station, and he gave a speech right before I came on and played. That was wonderful.
Mm. What got you started in music? How long have you been at this?
Well, I like to say it, the songwriting part is a life sentence. So second grade, everybody in the family plays. Everybody, it was mandatory to take piano lessons.
Okay.
Yeah, and mom sang in the choir and played some piano, dad on harmonica and guitar, and I have five siblings, and we all play.
And this was where?
This is in Cascade, Iowa.
Which is where you call home now. You're in Iowa,
just
right?
Down the road in a little town called Bluegrass.
Okay. Yeah. How old were you when you wrote your first song?
Yeah, I was in my teens. I'm going to say around 13, 14, somewhere in there. It was bad. It was bad.
You've dropped that one from your repertoire, have you?
Yeah, and my memory. Yes.
Conveniently enough. You were in a band called Robin Banks some years ago that was managed by the late Ed Cassidy, which is a name that listeners of a certain age will remember, a band called Spirit. I was impressed with that connection here. What was that project all about?
Right after I graduated from University of Iowa, I was in Colorado for about 10 years, playing up and down the Eastern Range there. That project was primarily three songwriters writing original rock and roll. And then we had a full band, a five-piece band. And after a couple of years, Ed came along. I think he was in between Spirit projects. And he and his wife, Beverly, lived in the foothills up near Evergreen. And he heard us playing one night at the Little Bear. And he approached us, and we just kind of hit the ground running with him.
Mm. Mm. You've played a lot of rock over the years? Did you spend a lot of years plugged in?
Yes.
Being louder?
The first of those 10 years in Colorado, pretty much. And it just kind of eased itself into more the songwriting aspect of it, and picking up the I play keyboards in those bands as well, and then all of a sudden I started writing with mostly the guitar. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there an active music scene in Iowa?
Oh, very much so. That's the home of Dave Moore and Greg Brown and Bo Ramsey, Bo who has toured with Lucinda Williams, and very very active.
Been on Prairie Home Companion before. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Are they based in one community there, or are they kind of spread around?
That group is, that class, you know, around Washington, Iowa City area. But there are, of course, the new people coming up, and they're all over the state, spread out all over. Nice to see.
You got a new collection of songs called First Love. We heard the title cut here a couple of songs ago, and you got some great people playing with you on the record, including Keb Moe, who blew me away here in East Lansing when he opened for Bonnie Raitt maybe 15 years or so ago. Mm-hmm. Really impressive musician. How did you connect with Keb Moe?
Mm. Well, that's how do you connect with a lot of people in Nashville. It's that kind of community, and I record my studio albums in Nashville. So my producer would be Blue Miller, and he and Keb had met through India Ari.
Okay.
Blue is the producer that helped break India Ari with Ready for Love. So I guess the story is I'm in the studio where we're getting ready to record this tracks for this song, I Can't Tell, which I just played. And I said it'd be nice to have somebody like Keb Moe do some slide work on this. And I was talking to somebody else, but Blue was in the control room and said, you know, what did you say? And I said, it'd be nice to have Keb Moe on this. So long story short, I didn't know at the time that he knew Keb, but Keb kind of lived around the corner from the studio. And 6 months later, he is in the studio on time and doing his thing. So, pretty cool.
How many days a year are you on the road?
It's that number is growing. Maybe about 100 shows a year, to 100, 150, something like that.
I know you take great pride and you spend a lot of energy on your songwriting. How has that experience changed over the years? Is it easier to write a song you're proud of than it was 20 years ago, or is it always, are you exacting enough here? Are your standards high enough that it's always a significant challenge?
It's a mystery.
Yeah.
It really is a challenge. I never know what's going to happen with this process, and that's part of the draw for me. I think it's hard to, I'll come up with an idea. I don't know if it's going to fly or not. And I've gotten a little bit better about the maybe the nuts and bolts of putting a song together. But really to turn the phrase, to make the idea work, to how to best engage the listener, I don't know. That part is all a mystery to me.
Really elusive.
And I like that. I mean, I like that part of it. So
okay.
Yeah.
Come to groove on the mystery.
Right.
Of it all.
Yeah, the mystery of writing that song. I mean, how does this work?
It sometimes struck me. I've listened to a lot of music in my life. I've been a music lover for many years. I'm sometimes struck that, you know, songwriters are trying to come up with something different, but it's amazing how simple some of the most memorable songs are, and how unoriginal, really, the chords in some of the most durable songs are. It doesn't necessarily require cleverness. It's just you've got to create something new out of really old material,
mm-hmm.
You know, G, D, and A, you know. You can still create something pretty memorable and impactful out of those three chords. But at the same time, I keep thinking, well, you got to come up with something new. You've got to create something new. But it's the old building blocks are still pretty durable. They can still create something memorable.
Yeah, that's the framework is there, and it's been borrowed on, you know, forever. I do some workshops, writing workshops, sit in some panels that talk about songwriting. I think what makes a song unique, the best I can come up with is it's your experience, it's your life experience. And what can you bring to mm-hmm. the table that's new in a song? That's kind of where, you know, I go to.
And you kind of reached a fork in the road with regard to whether a song comes from you or whether it's really for other people. I mean, I know you spent some time writing songs with other people in mind. We'll continue that conversation in just a minute, but let's hear another song right now. David G. Smith is our guest here today on Live Music Friday on WKAR's Current State. This is called In the Silence.
She was always there for me. She was always there with roots and canopy as unruffled as the morning air. I could count on her advice. She was like a mother to me. Now all I see in her vacant eyes is vulnerability. In the silence, I'm learning how two unfettered souls are talking now. I didn't know this language. I didn't know this life. All I felt was the anguish of having to see her in a different light. She used to be this one thing. She was a rock for me. But now there is this something new, possibility. In the silence, I'm learning how two unfettered souls are talking now. There are no rules. There are no roles. There is only real to fill up all the holes in silence. I'm learning how to unfettered souls have never been so close than we are right now. In the silence, in the silence.
David G. Smith, the track is called In the Silence. Is that from the new CD?
It is.
As well?
Mm-hmm.
First Love is what it's called. David G. Smith will be performing later today an acoustic lunch performance at the Broad Art Museum and at tonight's Pump House concert in East Lansing. I understand you came to something of a fork in the road here regarding your songwriting. I guess for a time, you were writing songs, I take it, a little too deliberately for other people to sing, and at some point you were encouraged to change that. Tell us what happened.
Sure. I made a move from Colorado down to Nashville for the specific purpose of just writing, pure songwriting, and kind of fell into this routine of checking the tip sheet, you know, to see who's cutting what, and what's Martina cutting this week, or Reba, or whoever. And I would get together, and a large part of the writing community down there is co-writing. So you're getting together with two or three other writers in a room and putting something together. And I think, as my bio says, I think I eventually was trying too hard. I felt like I was just losing part of me trying to write for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up in a songwriting retreat, and this was sort of last resort because I was thinking about just walking away from this whole thing, and it just wasn't feeling right. And there was Daryl Scott and Beth Nielsen Chapman and Mary Gaucher, who were the instructors there, and they got us one-on-one. There's only a dozen of us at this retreat. And they asked me, we were playing various songs. I was playing them songs that I did not pitch to other artists to cut. And they asked me what I was doing with those songs. And I said, I just write them to feel good, you know, and put them back on the shelf. And they, each of them told me, you need to be recording these and get out there and do this thing and quit trying to write for the music row, as they call it down there in Nashville.
Yeah. You have a big desire to give back to the communities where you perform. You've talked about mentoring others and supporting causes like St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Boys Town. How did that unfold exactly?
That has been there for a long time. Boys Town and St. Jude, I know we've been contributing for over 20 years, and I think I got to a place in my life where I'm very lucky to be out here back in the saddle full time as an artist, as a writer. And so there's just a sense of responsibility there on, I guess, maybe on my part to share the good things. And I don't know that it's any more of a mystery than that, to be able to give back to those who are not as fortunate. And I do kind of tend toward children's causes. They are our future. And you know, hope to help them out wherever we can.
Is there something like this going on while you're here in East Lansing? Are you looking at a charity here?
Everywhere we go, we look for a local cause. And so I found a group called MSU Food Bank. And I got in touch with the organizer yesterday, and we're going to donate a portion of proceeds from our trip up here to that food bank. I think their warehouse is out there, on Mint Road. And anybody can donate directly to them.
Your songs have done well in the international song competition. Tell us about that.
That was
you must be proud. I mean, you're recognized internationally.
So there's an organization in Nashville called Nashville Songwriters Association. They're a premier advocate for songwriters really around the planet, but especially in America. And they advocate in Washington, D.C. Well, some of that support system put the co-writers together for the song that did win that country category for that competition, Mike Willis and Jackie Cavan. And that was our first song we ever wrote together. And it pretty much scared the you-know-what out of us. And so we have written other songs, but that was quite a bar to set. And But it just, with Mike especially, we just hit the ground running, and he's wonderful to work with.
We want to hear as much of your last song as possible, so we'll wrap up the interview here now. Just briefly tell our listeners where they can find your new record.
DavidGSmithMusic.com. We'll get you there.
Simple enough. DavidGMusic.com. David G. Smith has been our Live Music Friday guest. You have a couple of chances to catch him live today. An acoustic lunch set at the Broad Art Museum on the MSU campus. That's at 12:30. Tonight, a Pump House concert at the Pump House on Orchard Street in East Lansing starting at 7. His new album is called First Love. You're leaving us with a song called Fear.
You bet.
David G. Smith, wrapping up Current State. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, I had it all planned out with wine and dinner and such. I had a ring picked out. I liked this girl that much. But halfway through our evening, I felt an awful dread starting in my body and ending up in my head. Fear, that son of a gun, always saying something can't be done, with a godless voice and a Judas tongue. That's what got me here. I didn't speak my heart, I just listened to fear. Took her home early that night, I told her I wasn't well. Yes, it was a bald-faced lie.